be a witness to the world as a kingdom of priests to God. And I was thinking of the fact that Israel, when God deals with Israel in the days ahead, in the tribulation time, that at the beginning he will choose 12,000 from each tribe to be a witness. 144,000. There's going to be 12,000 of each tribe as a witness to the world. And that's what God intended in the beginning, that they might be the witness. But we know that Israel is going to face great tribulation, great trials yet, before they're brought to the fact of accepting Emmanuel. O come, and when they cry out to him, O come and save us, as they cry out to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will bow the knee and recognize that he truly is their Messiah. But we see there's only one tribe that was a priest. God designated Levi as a priestly tribe. Rather than 12, it was one tribe that was designated as a priestly tribe. They will be a priest to God in the days ahead and that God has for them. I'm going to look at Matthew chapter 12, and several weeks ago we looked at chapter 9 of Matthew, and we looked at the fact that the Lord says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And we saw there that the Lord Jesus was speaking to, as he spoke to the Pharisees, and as he had sat with the publicans and sinners, and as the Pharisees again accused him meeting with them and being with them, and how the Lord Jesus dealt with that with them. But the key was, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And of course, sacrifice has there the thought of man's sacrifice. It's not God's. It's man's, the sacrifice of man's righteousness and the things that the Pharisees were doing that they felt was bringing them acceptance with God. But yet they were far from him. They were bound to their own righteousness. We're going to look at this portion, another portion, in Matthew chapter 12, and begin reading at verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were in hunger, began to pluck the ears of the corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. And he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was in hunger, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. We see this phrase found again. The Lord Jesus again is finding himself in being accused of the Pharisees concerning the disciples that were with him as they were walking through the field of corn, and as they plucked the corn and as they were going through the field, the Pharisees were quick to accuse him of doing labor on the Sabbath day. And the Lord Jesus dealt with them in referring to several instances that we have in the Old Testament. One of the thoughts that I had several weeks ago was the fact that it's possible to think that we can add to our salvation. We think that we have to work, we have to do something in order to be saved. We need to add something to our faith. There's something we must do. But we know the Scripture clearly teaches that faith stands alone. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And sacrifice, as we looked at here, speaks of the fact of our man's works. And the Pharisees felt that their works was what could gain them favor with God. It's their works, what they could do. And the observance of the Sabbath days, Paul says in Galatians that you observe the days and the months and the years and so on. Failing to recognize that there is one who is Lord of the Sabbath, who is greater than the Sabbath, who is greater than the temple. He's the one whom we need to depend upon and look to. And it's our faith is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And the Pharisees were quick to pick up on the things that in their mind was a violation of the Sabbath day. And so often you see, if you study cults at all and different religions, that they deal in two areas, what you eat and how you observe what they call the holy day. It is so often we see in these two areas that the cults plague on. There are those that still hold to the Sabbath as a day of worship. And certain religions, the Jewish religions, on certain days they observe the Sabbath from sundown on Friday night to sundown on Saturday night. And they eat certain foods. They can't drive their car, the Orthodox Jews, on Sabbath. They're to walk to the synagogues or whatever. And that's the man's traditions. And of course, the Jewish people fail to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who came and who gave his life on the cross of Calvary for their sin. He came to save them. And so we have here the fact that the Pharisees were accusing the disciples of doing something that they felt was unlawful on the Sabbath day. The picking of the corn in them. So Lord Jesus referred to David when he was hungry and when he was fleeing from Saul and he came to Ahimelech at the temple. Ahimelech was the priest there and he was hungry. David was not defiled, and one was not to be defiled for 3 days, and he was hungry, but he didn't have any what they call a common bread, and he had the hallow bread, the bread that was to be for the table of showbread, And so David ate of the showbread. And God allowed him to do that. According to the Old Testament, the showbread was made on the Sabbath. It was made new and fresh, and it was put on the table of showbread, and the priests and their sons could eat of the showbread. But it was hallowed bread as unto the Lord. And there was 12 loaves that were made, and they were put on in rows on the table of showbread. But David ate of the bread that was there. That was all the bread that the priest had. And because David was not defiled, he ate of the bread. And so we see there that God allowed him to do that. And the Lord Jesus uses that as an illustration of the fact that it's God's mercy upon us, the revealing of God's mercy. And it's not the law, but the Lord Jesus came and fulfilled the law, and to realize that it's Him who is Lord over the law and of the Sabbath and so on. We see that also we see in verse 5, the Lord Jesus said that, not read in the law, how on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profaned the Sabbath and are blameless. On the Sabbath day there were offerings that the priests offered. There was the burnt offering that continually burned. And that's how God's desire to the priests was that they would continually burn this offering constantly. It would not go out. And even on the Sabbath day, the priests had to prepare the offering as the Lord had designated for them. And so that was done on the Sabbath day as well. And so the Lord Jesus is confronting the Pharisees concerning they were looking at Sabbath as under the law that in their mind they were holding to the strictness of the law and seeing nothing in the light of the fact of God's mercy upon them. And they were quick to accuse the disciples and in what they were doing. But the Lord Jesus confronted them in the light of the fact that the most important thing is they fail to see that the mercy of God is greater than sacrifice. You know, sometimes we we can look at things in a legalistic way. As you know, some people accept the Lord as their Savior, and recognize that a work has been done in my life, that God has done something. He saved me from my sin, and I have a new focus, a new direction in life. And it's wonderful to see that, to see a child of God who just comes to know the Lord and is really on fire for the Lord. And so often we see too that some people think that, well, I'm saved, I can do as I please. I can live as I please. But you know, the Word of God says that we're not giving the license to do as we please. But we've come into a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and our life belongs to Him. And you know, I think as we see the mercy of God in dealing with us in the moment we're saved, you know, the Lord could be harsh on us, but the Lord is patient and He's long-suffering with us. And He's willing to show compassion and to guide us. And you know, sometimes we can think that my life is my own and I can do as I please. You know, that's not so, is it, in the Word of God? Because we're under the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been brought into salvation through His grace, and His mercy is upon us, and He's willing and patient and being compassion upon us. And you know, there's a danger in failing to see that God's work upon us requires us to recognize from the Word of God and to depend on His Word that He's the one who needs to be the focus of our life. Someone who professes to be saved and yet lives their own life, gets involved in other things apart from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, fails to see the forgiveness that God has brought upon their life. God has to deal with that one, doesn't He? You know, I know in my own life, you know, when I've disobeyed the Lord in that conscience, it's something that reminds us that this is wrong. And it continues to haunt you in your mind that this is wrong. Oh, we might try to justify it. And that becomes easy sometimes in our own minds. And you see the sacrifices of this world, the things that look good are the things that haunt us, that ought to haunt the believer. Because those are the things of the world that sit enmity with us. You know, I've been plagued in my mind with something I know is wrong. And the Lord shows me. And unless we confess that sin and recognize that it is sin, it's disobedience to God, and confess that sin, our conscience will not be made clear before God. And God is ready to forgive us of that sin and go on in our life. And you know, it was a struggle amongst the Pharisees. They were struggling. And the Lord Jesus showed them that mercy is greater than sacrifice. And as we saw before, the sacrifice there speaks of the religious ways, traditions of the Pharisees. They felt that they were sacrificing so much that on the Sabbath they were straight. They were doing exactly what they were to do in the law, knowing nothing of the mercy of God. I like that verse 6. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. In this place there's one greater than the temple. They were focusing on the fact that the Lord Jesus with the disciples, that they had plucked the corn and so on. And as the Lord Jesus brought these examples from the Old Testament, and they knew very well the temple. They knew all about the temple. They knew what they did there. They had bought and sold merchandise and so on. And they had done so many things in the temple on their religious, quote-unquote, Sabbath day. They had done so many. But the Lord Jesus referred to them as the fact that I'm far greater than the temple. He's greater than all the religious things that were celebrated at the temple. He's far greater. And he's greater than today, as we see. He's greater than all. He's greater than everything of this world would have to offer. Anything that man can offer to God for the price of his soul, the Lord Jesus Christ is far greater. He's the only answer to the need of man's soul. Notice, but if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. They condemn the guiltless ones. They're quick to condemn them, weren't they? The Pharisees were watching very closely how they could condemn the disciples and the Lord Jesus. But if they had known what it meaneth, that I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Not the sacrifices brought upon them by the traditions of men, by the mercy that the Lord Jesus come to save and to reveal the mercy of God upon us. Let's go to, I'm going to look at a few thoughts on mercy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy 1 and verse 13. Paul is speaking here concerning a testimony of himself. And he speaks concerning his own life before God. Verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. We study the life of Paul and what he was intending on doing on the road to Damascus, in persecuting the Christians and blaspheming against them and seeking to kill them, any that claimed to know and to speak of the Lord Jesus as a Savior of man. He was out to persecute them. But he did it in unbelief. He did it ignorantly in unbelief. He was ignorant. He didn't know any different. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was touching of the law. He was blameless. in his eyes according to the Pharisaical law, according to the sacrifices of man's own religion. He was on the top. But he did it in unbelief. He didn't know. He didn't recognize that there was that one, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be the answer to the soul of man, until he struck him down and the Lord shone the light from heaven upon him, and he was struck down on the road to Damascus. But he did it ignorantly, in unbelief. And you know, before we come to know Christ as Savior, we're ignorant of the things of God, aren't we? We're ignorant. We're lost in sin. We're bound for a Christless eternity because of unbelief. And the message is the same today. Man will go to hell because of unbelief. But sad today, man doesn't want to know the truth. Man doesn't really want to know the truth. But just going back to the first thought of the Jewish people, they were to be a witness to the world of true belief in the Messiah. But they're far from it. They're in unbelief. As Saul is an example of Israel in unbelief, ignorant of the truth of God. They don't want the truth. They want their traditions, their own sacrifices, and the things of man. That's what they want. They don't want to hear the truth. We're seeing their half-brother Ishmael trying to convert the world to a religion of the sacrifices of man that will only bring death and destruction and separation from God in hell. But Israel could be a witness of the truth, but they're not. And Paul was one of those examples. He says, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And we're very ignorant of the things of God before we're saved. We knew nothing of God, far from God, dead in sin and trespasses, until the Lord Jesus saves us. Paul was so thankful that I obtained mercy from God. That God was merciful to him. And that God's mercy was shown upon him there on the road to Damascus that day. And you know, God's mercy is upon each one of us, isn't he? His mercy is with us. We don't deserve what we have. We don't deserve all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's only by his mercy has he saved us and called us unto himself. It's by his mercy. And we're his bride. He's our bridegroom. We have so much to look forward to. And in his mercy, he's made us his, called unto himself and made us his bride. He's the bridegroom. And Israel one day will be a faithful wife to her husband. And there in the picture we see in Hosea. And that the Lord will be the husband to Israel as a faithful wife unto him. Those are days to look forward to. Those are great revealing, or the ultimate expression of his mercy upon us. And we see in verse 16, "Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern of them which should thereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Paul says again, "I obtain mercy, that in him first Jesus Christ should show forth all longsuffering." That in his life, he would be a pattern in his life of the long suffering and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might be a testimony of that light to others. But he saw that in him first, as he's obtained mercy, that his life might show forth a pattern of the long suffering and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw that he was saved by his mercy, and he sees that in his life, the only way that his life can show forth a godly pattern is through the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ and showing the long suffering and patience of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. That to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. This life might truly count, might truly reflect the mercy of God. And that his life would show forth the long suffering and the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that all that he had done ignorantly in unbelief, that his life would now show forth as a pattern, that those that he would minister to would come into the acknowledgement that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can give us life everlasting. They might believe on him. They might recognize that the true answer is in his mercy and not in the human sacrifices that man can bring in themselves to God. And then we see 1 Peter chapter 2. I believe Tim spoke on this. I believe it was this Thursday night. First Peter 2 and verse 10. Speaking of the, let me read verse 9. "But ye are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Speaking here of the Gentiles that would be brought in. At one time they were not a people. They were outside. They were strangers. They were not part of the covenants and the promises of Israel. But by recognizing that this one that would come and die on the cross and believe on him, they too could be saved. It was Gentiles who were saved. But now the Lord Jesus came. He died on the cross. Whosoever will may come. Jew and Gentile alike could come and believe and be part of this royal priesthood, could show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Paul was a pattern of the gospel, that how people could be saved and truly be, their life could be changed. We see here Peter speaks of the fact that the Gentiles could be brought in, had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ has brought salvation to whosoever will may come. And it's great to know that we have been brought into His mercy. We've obtained His mercy with His death on the cross. His mercy, so full and so free, is seen on the cross of Calvary. If He condemned us to hell, He would be right. But in His mercy, He saved us. He has forgiven us of our sin and given us a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:12, we see again, or Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Where do we find mercy? Where can we obtain mercy? But at the throne of grace, we can find mercy and find help in time of need. There's a fellow that I know, and he does somewhat of the same type of work that I do. His son was found dead in bed one morning. He had worked with his father, and it about devastated his parents. I see him at different times, the first thing he speaks about is his son. He says, I pray every day for Louis because I want to see him. I want to see him someday, and I pray every day. So I was over on the street where he lives, and went by his house, and here's a pickup. Now, his son loved pickups. But on the back of the pickup is a picture of his son. Over the picture is, in memory of my son, Louis Jr. And underneath is, you're always with me. And a picture of his son there as well. This man, his heart is broken because of the loss of his son. He's trying to find help in this time of need. But he's hoping that he's going to see him. And I said to Louis, I said, you know, it's good to pray. You know, the throne of grace, we pray. We can pray to God and ask Him for help. But I said, you know, most importantly, we need to pray the sinner's prayer. We need to be saved. We need to accept the Lord as our Savior. You know, He's the answer. Well, I know, I know. A lot of people have sent me things, and I read in that. He says, I just can't get out of my mind, and I just want to see Him so bad. And so I was able to share with him about the gospel, and, you know, his son was heavily into drugs, and it was a very sad situation. But, you know, here's a man who needs help in time of need. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. That's on my mind every day. I just can't get Him off of my mind. And I says, you won't. You know, you're going to go through life like that. But I says, there is help. To help to cope. It was a good conversation I had with him. But, you know, there's so many hurts and so many difficulties, and there's struggles in life. We all face them. But we can obtain mercy at the throne of grace in time of need. And it's great to know that His mercy is there. Our time is gone, so we'll just close in a word of prayer.